Job chapter number 1 is where we'll start off. For the teens, this year we kind of had a theme of walking uprightly and the importance of walking uprightly and what that means in the Bible, and we've been defining that and just trying to help our young people to make that decision to do that. And there's some principles, and we've been going through that in the adult Sunday school class, and we're just gonna keep continuing that this morning. But we're gonna go to the book of Job. We're gonna look at a man in the Bible who has kind of catch you up just a little bit, and then we'll continue on that subject this morning. Job chapter number 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." And then it goes, if you keep going down, it gives a little bit of a description of Job. Now, verse number 6, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them, and the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." Now let's go flip over, if you would, to verse chapter number 2. Once again, and there was some stuff that went on, and a lot of things that went on in Job's life in chapter number 1. But in verse chapter number 2, Satan comes again to God. And verse number 3, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." Let's pray this morning, and then we'll get into this lesson. Father, I do thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for the excitement that there is this morning. Thank you for all the buses, the safety you give them on the way here. I pray, Lord, that you just bless every service that's going on at this moment, every Sunday school class. Help there to be a quiet spirit. God, I pray that you would just help the morning services to follow. I know there's a lot of people still going to be driving in, and pray that you'd give them safety. Lord, I pray above all that you'd be honored this morning and everything that's said, everything that's done. And I pray that you would just help us have a wonderful day today. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things about walking uprightly, and one of the passages that we went to is in Daniel chapter number 3, and the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when King Nebuchadnezzar had his image set up, and he had commanded everybody that they were to fall down before this image, and the music started playing, and everybody fell down except for three young men. And in a very real sense, they were standing uprightly. And that's a perfect illustration of what walking uprightly is, about what standing uprightly is because the world wants us to conform. The world wants us to fall down before the gods that it has presented before us. And as a Christian, God commands us that we need to walk uprightly. And that is a very real sense of walking uprightly. And there are things that are associated with that. I'll review quickly for those of you that haven't been with us. But walking uprightly is, it's not an easy decision. It's not easy when tens of thousands of people around you are falling down to the quota or the status, the thing that everybody wants you to conform to. It's not easy sticking out. And as a young person especially, a lot of you, you've lived your life this way. You've lived your life as a Christian, and it's not a big deal anymore. But for a young person, when everybody else is conforming, everybody else is doing what the world wants them to do, it's hard for them to stand out. It's hard for them to stick out. But honestly, walking uprightly, and this is the first thing we talked about, is walking in freedom. You know, when you can get past the pressure that the world puts on you, there is a lot of freedom that comes when you just serve God and you just, it doesn't matter, okay? It doesn't matter what the world tries to get you to conform to. You're just serving God. And there is a freedom that comes with that. You know, honestly, you have to ask yourself, who really is in bondage? Of that day when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood up, who was in bondage? It was everybody else that was falling down. Okay, so there is that principle there. So that was one thing. Obviously, when you walk uprightly, you stick out. Okay, you stick out. But when you stick out, it demands the attention. And one of the things we covered was it demands the attention of the world. And it does. Everybody looks at you. Now, your peers, many times, is what I tell the young people, your peers and those around you many times mock you because you're standing up. for what's right. But people that have a little bit of wisdom, they respect you. You know, I think those people that were standing around Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're on their faces and they look over and they see three young men, and in the back of their minds, they know the consequences of standing for what's right. There's something in their mind that says, hey, them guys got guts, all right? And the world respects. The world will respect you. There's guys in here that work at Mirren Power Plant, okay? And I've talked to several guys that in the last little bit when we've been doing our visitation that they say, hey, yeah, I know so-and-so over at Mirren, and he's a Christian. Hey, you know what that is? They respect you for that, all right? The world doesn't have, honestly, folks, the world doesn't have respect for a compromiser. They don't. They don't have respect for a compromiser. So walking uprightly demands that attention. And sometimes it's good attention, and a lot of times it's not. But also, walking uprightly demands the attention of God. And we saw this in Job. We talked about this last week. We saw this in Job. You know, God brings up to Satan the fact of Job. Satan doesn't bring Job up, the subject of Job up to God. God brings the subject of Job up to Satan. And he said, hast thou considered my servant Job? And we looked last week about how the eyes of God are upon his children and how God watches over his children and God loves his children. And God will never ask you to go through something that he will not give you the grace to go through. And we talked about the eyes of God and how it watches us. And then today, we're going to talk about this, that walking uprightly is a decision of the heart. Walking uprightly is a decision of the heart. Let's go to Psalms chapter number 32. We're going to use our Bibles this morning quite a bit. Psalms chapter number 32. We're going to look at some just references to this as being walking uprightly is a decision of the heart. Psalms chapter number 32, look at verse number 11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Now, obviously, standing upright is a matter of an action. Standing isn't, you know, you're standing there, you're walking uprightly. That's an action. When you fall down, you're not doing anything, okay? You're just conforming. So you are doing something, but more so than that, it's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. We'll go to Psalms chapter 64. Psalms chapter 64. If you want to do an interesting study, look at how many times in the Bible the word heart is mentioned just in Psalms. And about how it's David, his heart was yearning to follow God. But Psalms chapter 64, verse 10, Bible says, the righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in what? Heart shall glory. Psalms chapter 97. Psalms chapter 97. So I believe it's important that you walk uprightly in your actions. But more so, and we'll look at this morning, it's important that you walk uprightly in your heart. Because what your heart, and we can go back to Pastor teaches this, what your heart, what you do in your heart determines what you do with your life. Okay? What you feel determines how you act. All right? Then thus, how you think determines how you feel. How you feel determines how you act. So what goes on in here is very important to the decisions that you make in your life. Psalms 97, I think I told you. Verse number 11. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Upright in heart. Let me say this. Walking uprightly is a decision of your heart, because most of the decisions to walk uprightly are done in the heart. Now follow me, and I think this will make sense to you. Many times these decisions, most decisions that are made to walk uprightly are decisions that are done privately but are manifested publicly. Decisions to walk uprightly are done privately in your heart, but they're manifested publicly. Okay? Listen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't decide that day to stand up for what's right, if that makes sense. They had to decide a long time ago. Let's go to Daniel. If you would, go to Daniel chapter number 1. Let me show you a verse here. Daniel chapter number 1, verse number 8. Here's another man that has decided to walk uprightly. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now you know what happened? Daniel had already decided this before the opportunity had came. Okay, Daniel had already made the decision that, no, I can't defile myself with the king's meat before the meat was ever presented to him. Okay, don't you think that, you know, if you think about Babylon and all of the things that they had, this was, to a Jewish young man, this was, if you could have anything that you wanted, it was in front of him right now. Anything. And he had already purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. These decisions that are made privately are manifested publicly. Now, let me go through, and I've kind of taught some of this before, but we'll go through it. You know, for a young person, and I'm going to use these illustrations, but for a young person, prom night was last night. Okay, probably one of the, if you want my honest opinion, one of the most wicked nights in our communities that we have, as far as a whole. Okay, you talk about sensuality running rampant. All right? And it's okay, this is church. We can talk about the sin, okay? But there is, I don't really know of anything good about it. All right? If you want to come tell me something good, they're building relationships that they're not ready for, okay? They're not ready for that, all right? But last night, I got off on a tangent. I got aggravated about prom. But last night, you know, the decision to remain pure, listen to me, the decision to remain pure for a young person is not done at the moment of temptation. The decision to remain pure for a young person is done privately in their heart years, months before that. Okay? Because any of us, or I'm a red-blooded American just like any of you. If you're presented with a temptation and you have to make the choice right then, unless you've already decided to not sin, it's going to be real hard not to. Okay? Now, that's the truth of it. You can shade it over or whatever, but the decision to remain pure is not done at that moment. It's done way before that. All right? We could go to the life of Abraham. You think about Abraham. When God called Abraham up on that mountain with Isaac, you know, I believe, and I preached kind of a message on this, but I believe that Abraham in his heart had already sacrificed Isaac. Because if he gets up on top of that mountain and God asks him at that moment, give me your Isaac, that's a tough decision to make in the heat of the moment. None of us can think very well. God created us. You have to make decisions. You know, the decision to drink or not to drink, you know I shouldn't do this. Whatever it could be. Okay? Whatever the Bible says that we shouldn't be doing, that decision shouldn't be made in the heat of the moment. Because inevitably, your flesh is a very strong, powerful thing, and you will yield to your flesh unless something else is. Okay, here's a silly illustration. I haven't drank pop for a little over a year. I haven't drank any pop. Okay? And not that, you know, are you on a diet? No, not really. Okay? I eat terrible food all the time. I eat late. I don't eat before probably 10 o'clock ever, okay, at night. And I'm not on a diet, okay? It was just something I decided, all right. Well, I actually got sick probably a year ago. I worked like one of my crazy weeks, probably 100 plus hours. And I drank, we was pushing real hard to get this job done. And I drank like a 12-pack of Mountain Dew in like a 12-hour period, okay? It was like, you're just drinking these things like crazy. Well, I got sick from it, okay? Shocking, right? And I got sick, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to drink any pop. But I do like Mountain Dew, okay? I really do. I like the Voltage, but one of my favorite is the Baja Blast, okay? I mean, it is. Everybody's waking up now. It's like, all right, he's talking about. So, last night, all right, I'm scrambling around trying to get last-minute things done, and we didn't leave here till, I don't know, 9:30, 9:45, and we hadn't eaten supper yet, and I called my wife and said, hey, you just want me to stop at Dollar General or grab a couple, you know, freezer pizzas or something, and we'll just make it quick. So you know what? I walk into Dollar General last night, all right, and it's this new summer thing, and there's bottles of Baja Blast. I mean, right when I walk in the door. Now, is there anything necessarily wrong with drinking? Is it sin? No, I don't. I couldn't point you to a verse. Now, I think you should take care of your body, and drinking 12 Mountain Dews in a 12-hour period is probably not taking care of your body. So that's probably gluttony at that point. But is there anything wrong with drinking that Mountain Dew? No, I don't think so. But, you know, would anybody else know if I got one and drank it? No. Okay, and then now, like I said, this is a very simple illustration. But you know what made me, you know, if you go in, if you haven't already purposed in your heart that you're not going to do something, and you go in and I see, you know, racks of Baja Blast, and I remember what it tastes like, okay? And it's really good. You know what I would do? Hey, there's nothing, I'm going to get one. But why? Because it's, part of me is like, no. I'm just telling, part of it is, honestly, I'm just telling, it's a self-discipline thing for me. It's something that my body, and I mean, I'm not going to get off on a tangent, but Americans and American Christians, one of the worst problems that we have in Christianity is lack of self-discipline. You know, we could fix a lot of things. Well, how can we not, you know, all of our kids are going to the world. You know why a lot of it is? Lack of character, lack of self-discipline. They can't tell their stinking flesh no. So for me, not drinking Mountain Dew part of it is just because it's something I know I want. And it's good for me to go into Dollar General and have to tell myself no. It's just, I know that's something really simple. But for me, it's a good thing. It's a self-discipline thing. No, you can't have that. Why? I want it. Well, you can't have it. But you got the money. I know, but you can't have it. Okay? And that's just a self-discipline thing. But what is that? It's because at some point I said in my heart, no, I don't want that. I went over to my brother-in-law and sisters yesterday. And they had Ale 8. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever had Ale 8. It's from Kentucky. It's a Kentucky drink, all right? And I don't like it a whole lot. But every once in a while, it's just like a real, it's like a jolt to your system, okay? And I was like, man, that looks really good. Same thing. No, I'm not going to do it, okay? Why? Because I'd already purposed. Now, I know that's a carnal thing, but that can go a lot of different ways, all right? And it's I called it one time the sacrifice before the sacrifice. You have to be willing to determine things in your heart before something ever happens. Otherwise, you're going to fold when that pressure comes. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't decide, you know, didn't they? Don't you think that they knew that this temptation was coming? Everybody knew. I mean, they'd been watching this image being built. I think at some point in their room or wherever they were staying, they thought, you know, what are we going to do? This is coming. What are we going to do? They had already decided beforehand that they're not going to crumble. They're not going to fall before the wicked. I think of Sarah. You know, we talk about Sarah in the Bible, about how she just followed. Well, man, she was amazing. She just followed Abraham when he said, I'm leaving and I'm going. Where are you going? Wherever God leads me. Well, I think at some point Sarah had to decide that I'm going to follow my husband, period. It wasn't I'm going to follow my husband if we go here, or if I can stay within so many miles of my family, I'm going to follow my husband, period. It was something she had determined her heart, and when that decision came to Sarah, it wasn't a question of will I or will I not, it was already decided for her, okay? We can go to Proverbs chapter number 7. Here's the opposite. A young man that is presented with an opportunity, presented with a temptation, but because he hadn't purposed in his heart at some point, he fell for the tempting words and the seductive ways of the Proverbs chapter 7 woman, okay? And it's important that we decide to walk uprightly in our heart, in our heart. Walking uprightly is making a decision before that decision must be made. Because walking uprightly is a matter of the heart, like I said, it affects our decision making. Go to Psalms chapter number 75. Should be fairly close. Psalms chapter 75. It's an interesting verse here, Psalm chapter 75, verse 2. The last part of this verse, the Bible says in Psalm 75, 2, when I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. Now, judging, it's basically making a decision. I will make a decision, how? Uprightly. And that's because at some point he's made that decision in his heart. All right? Let's go to Proverbs chapter number 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 3. The Bible says, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." What guides a man that's walking uprightly? His integrity. What he's already decided in his heart to do. That's what decides where he goes, what he does, what he says. By the way, what you say many times is dictated by what you've already made up in your heart, and we'll get to that in a moment. Proverbs chapter number 11. Proverbs chapter number 11. We're already there. Look at verse number 20. "They that are of a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight." Here's the opposite. Here's a man that's perverse or froward in his heart. Okay? In his heart. Well, what about his actions? Well, they're dictated by what was in his heart. Proverbs chapter number 15. Go to 15. Verse number 21. Proverbs 15, verse 21. "Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly." Because that was something that was done in his... And it's he's walking. So his actions have already been determined by what was done in his heart. So he's walking now uprightly. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 29. "A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way." He directeth his way. Go to Proverbs chapter 12. Sorry, flip back. Remember what I said about what you do in your heart many times comes out in what you're saying? All right? Proverbs chapter 12, verse number, verse number 6. Proverbs 12, verse 6. "The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them." Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Let me just read this verse to you. The Bible says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." Right. Well, Brother Chad, how do you know when a teenager's struggling? How do you know when somebody's struggling? Listen to what they're saying. Amen. Listen to what they're saying. Amen. Okay? If somebody starts to become critical of pastor, okay? You know what that's... When they're talking something or when they're becoming critical of another person... You can gauge a lot by a person by what they say, and you can tell what's going on in their heart. Okay, there's something wrong in their heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The mouth speaketh, and your words. We can go. Pastor has a book. You should read it. It has the 10 Laws of Excellent Speech in it. And if your heart is right, the words that come out will be right. And it's not just the words, it's the decisions that you make. Why is it so important? Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Why is it important that you make decisions to walk uprightly in your heart? Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse 23. Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep it. Be careful. Guard it. If you would, because what you think determines how you feel determines how you act. Okay? That's why you got to control your heart, control what happens. That's why a young person needs to make decisions at an altar. That's why adults, listen, I think Joseph was an adult when he was tempted with Potiphar's wife. And it wasn't at that moment that Joseph made the decision, "I'm not going to commit fornication with Potiphar's wife." It was years before, or months, or whenever. It was before that moment, all right? That's why it's important you make decisions. "No, I'm not going to listen to this kind of music." Because what happens when that music comes on the radio? It's easy just to listen to it, all right? And when you listen to it, you know what that affects? Your ear gates, which affects your heart, which affects your actions. Okay, that's the way it works. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. Why should I keep my heart? Why should I protect my heart? Proverbs chapter 6. I think you were close. Proverbs 6. Look at verse 23. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. Why should I make these decisions in my heart? Why should I determine to walk uprightly in my heart? Proverbs 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Why? To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Now listen to this, it's interesting. Solomon said this, lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Where does this all start? Okay? A man doesn't just commit fornication, just, okay? There's something going on in his heart before. What did Solomon say? Lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Okay? He didn't say, you know, obviously you're not supposed to do what follows. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Okay? It's a process. So, but it comes back to what they're doing in their heart. It's important for an adult. All right? It's important for me. There's constantly things I struggle with. And it's not always new. Okay? For instance, I like fishing, okay, and I don't get to do it much, Brother Ryan. We haven't gone fishing yet, and we need to, but time restraints. But I like fishing. You know, not every lure works for the same fish. Every fish, you can catch different fish. I can take a lure and throw it in the same spot three or four times, and it may not work, and then I change lures and throw it there, and man, they hit it all the time, okay? And you know, the devil's got a whole tackle box full of lures. And there's constantly things that, you know, okay, he's gotten the victory over that, but what about this one? And he throws something out there and it's like, whoa, that's an attractive thing, okay? And we all, just because you're 60, 70, 40, whatever, doesn't mean that the devil gives up on you. You know, the biggest trial, I taught this a while back, the biggest trial in Daniel's life, the biggest trial in Daniel's life came when he was a senior saint. Daniel in the lion's den, most guys think he's probably late 80s, 90 years old when he was thrown in the lion's den. Just because you're a senior saint doesn't mean the devil gives up on you. Just because, well, I'm 40. Yeah, we've seen a lot of 40-year-olds hit the road. Okay? I'm 30. I would never give up on God until Satan throws something out there that you haven't decided beforehand. I'm not going to bite at that. So that's why it's important that even now we constantly make decisions to keep our heart walking uprightly. Proverbs chapter number 7. Look at verse 25 right there. We'll go ahead and look at it. Bible says, remember, this is Proverbs 7. We're talking about the Proverbs 7 woman. Bible says, let not thy heart, verse 25, let not thine heart decline to her ways. Then it says, go not astray in her paths. It starts with your heart. It starts with your heart. When your heart leaves the ministry, you are quick to follow. When your heart leaves the ministry, you're quick to follow. Well, I just don't love those kids anymore. You're about done. When you stop loving people, okay, when it stops, mine eye hath affected my heart. When you can look at somebody and look at what they're going through and it doesn't touch, that's a scary place.
Yes, that's right.
It's a scary place. Because when your heart stops beating, you're dead. All right? So don't let your heart, always walk uprightly. Always keep that fire burning in your heart. Remember, if walking uprightly is a matter of the heart, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What has your heart been saying? What has your heart been saying? What's your heart talking about? What's your heart making comments about? Where's your heart leaning to? And if I know me, there it's a constant thing to constantly keep my heart in the right position, okay? Because the world wants to put the junk in. And my flesh wants that junk. But if I'm going to keep my spirit right, if I'm going to keep my heart right, I have to decide beforehand. Listen, I'm not going to watch some television shows. Well, it's funny. Doesn't matter. Well, this is one good episode. Doesn't matter. You know, there's some places I don't go. Is there anything wrong with that place? Probably not. I don't go there. Why? It's a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. Okay? You know, where do you draw the line? I don't know. Where do you draw the line? Okay? The story pastors told it, and I'll be done, you know, about the man that was driving a stagecoach, and they were testing out drivers, and everybody was trying to get as close to the edge of this cliff as possible. And then the one guy that hung farthest away, you know, it wasn't about how close you can get to sin. It's about how far you can stay away from sin. What is the separation that we stand for? Okay, what's the separation that you should stand for? It's about staying as far away from it as possible. Because if I fall and I'm standing on the edge, I'll probably fall hard. But if I fall and stand back here, away from it, I don't like falling. Nobody likes falling. Brother Levi, he took a plunge the other day last night on the bouncers. It was actually really funny. But he was regretting it this morning. Listen, if you fall, all right, when you're away from it, it's not going to hurt as bad. But what is that? It's coming back to, okay, I got to make the decision today to do what's right tomorrow. I got to make the decision to give. You know, listen, I've already made the decision to give my family up to God. If God took my family, every one of my family today. Brother Chad, how can you talk like that? Because honestly, they're not mine. And if I've already given them to God, they're His anyway. Okay? My life. Brother Chad, what if God kills you today? Well, obviously, I don't care about it. Man, I got good life insurance policy, so my wife's okay. All right? It doesn't bother me because I've already given that to Him. You know the things that bother you when it's taken away? Are a lot of times the things that you've never really given up in your heart. Well, I don't want my kids to go to the mission field because they're still your kids. And you've never given them to God. You've never made that decision before that decision comes. So a principle to walk uprightly, not just in the way you act, but in your heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the challenge of walking uprightly. Lord, I pray that you bless the services to follow. I pray that you be honored in everything. In Jesus' name, amen.